Welcome to the Spirit School of Ministry podcast, where we discuss discipleship in everyday life. Hi, everyone. I'm Liz. Oh, my gosh. Crazy already. This is crazy Bob over here. And this is David, who just tolerates us, really. That's what happens here. And Pastor Bob is so excited because he has a song he's been waiting to sing this whole time.
Oh, jeez.
Go ahead.
Oh, when the saints come marching in. Oh, when the saints come marching in.
Oh,
I want to be in that number.
You know.
Oh, when the saints come marching in.
Okay. Wow.
You know, can we get the guy with the trumpet? I need the guy with the trumpet behind me, or else I can't.
There's the saints and the ain'ts. That was an
ain't. The saints, ain't the saints.
All right, he's so excited to sing this song.
Wait, Pastor David's been singing it for a couple of days, and so is Rose. Rose, you should sing it from over there. No?
All right. Well, today we're going to talk about the saints. The saints.
Cool.
And who are the saints? And why do we care? And what do we do with these people?
Are they the saint?
The saints. Okay. So this is one of those things kind of floats around in some areas of Christianity, this whole idea of saints. Yeah. And I was thinking about this today because it's actually Saint Valentine's Day.
Oh, that's right.
Ooh.
Yeah. Saint Valentine's Day. So we're going to get a little background from our resident Catholic here.
Oh, yeah.
About saints.
What are saints about?
Go ahead and tell us a little bit.
Saints
here.
Are cool.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know, like from the Catholic faith, I mean, they get raised to that position somehow if they do miracles and signs and wonders and live a really cool life. I think, I don't know what I'm not exactly sure with them, what the standard is. I think it changes all the time. I think there's some things that are established, but I think that, you know, sometimes they just make a person a saint when they just want to acknowledge them, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's like the Medal of Honor. You know, something like that. Maybe. Yeah. I don't know. It's like, kind of like that.
Well,
I don't think I have a chance of becoming a saint.
Well, first of all, you have to be dead. So far, you do not qualify. But there's hope.
I don't like the way you guys are looking at me. You ever feel like a piece of meat, like you're going to be stabbed at some point in time? This is what I'm looking at when I see you guys. I'm like,
oh, saints preserve us.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. Well, this is actually something I've been learning a little bit about,
because
I serve in an Orthodox country, and they have their saints as well.
Oh, yeah.
And they hold a very high position in the faith there. So a saint, first of all, they cannot be made a saint until after they die, and usually it's several years after they die, but they have to have at least one proven miracle that they performed.
Reminds me of the Baseball Hall
That's
of Fame.
That's what I was thinking, the same thing. I was thinking the Hall of Fame.
Oh, my gosh.
And is there a Pete Rose saint? Because he ain't getting in the hall.
Oh, my gosh. Wow.
I'm sorry, Liz. You were doing a good job explaining that.
Trying today.
You were doing good. My gosh. So they have to have one confirmed miracle.
They have to have at least one confirmed miracle.
Yes.
And they have to live an exemplary life. Okay, so there has to be something that's extraordinary. Well,
I guess I've struck out.
That's three strikes.
No Hall of Fame for you. Too many strikeouts.
And then they're canonized by the church, and they're made to be an official saint, and they are part of the practice of the faith of Catholic and Orthodox persuasions, let's say, and they're actually a very active role in their daily life, in the life of a believer. People put icons of them up in their homes. They speak to them. They're aware of they're very present, actually, in their minds as they're living out their faith. And the idea is that different saints have kind of gone through different experiences when they were on the earth. Mm-hmm. And so maybe they have an area, kind of a specialty area where you can ask them to pray for you. And it's thought that because they're more holy, they have a special position in heaven, their prayers are heard better than yours are. So you want to ask a saint to pray for you find something for your loved ones. Mm-hmm. You know, when you're traveling, if you're sick, different areas, yeah. different saints have different kind of influence.
I think I'm liking this.
With the Lord. Are you?
I think we should start
Are you
that.
In favor of this position?
Yeah.
Making a good case for it.
Yeah. The more you're saying it, the more I like it. Yeah.
But scripturally, we have some problems.
with we do?
I think so.
Oh, okay.
With this belief. And I thought it'd be interesting to talk about it a little bit because the Bible does refer to saints. It does. But what are they referring to, Pastor David?
Yeah, well, I mean, the saints just mean the holy ones. Mm-hmm. So I like to translate it that way when I read the New Testament. I say, like, you know, Paul, an apostle to the holy ones that are in Christ in Ephesus. Because mm-hmm. what he's saying is you are people as believers in Christ who are set apart mm-hmm. for God. You're in Christ. You're a holy one. You've been made holy. And you know, in the Old Testament, the holy ones were the divine council. They were God's ruling angels that were with him. You know, in Jude, it says God is going to come with 10,000s of his holy ones. You know, there's several Psalms where it says the holy ones are with God. And so that's this idea of these beings set apart to rule with God, mm-hmm. in a ruling council, you know, an ecclesia, you could say, like the church word is really the ruling body, mm-hmm. That God has called out as his holy ones to rule with him. So it's not so much biblically about, you know, I've attained a certain level of moral purity, therefore I'm a saint, or I've done works, therefore I'm a saint. I mean, you get the opposite of that in Matthew 7, where people that have done many mighty works in his name, you know, get cast out as having no right. relationship with God. Mm-hmm. So miracles cannot attest your sainthood. What attests your sainthood is your loyalty, your faithfulness to God. Like if you're in relationship with God, you're set apart in Christ and mm-hmm. you're viewed as a holy one. You're actually ascended and seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus in his council of holy ones. Mm-hmm. So that being said, I mean, I think there's like a scripture in Hebrews 12 that says there's an assembly of the firstborn in heaven. There's the spirits of righteous men made perfect. So there are, you know, a heavenly council right now mm-hmm. of angels and humans that are with God. And I don't really know what they're doing up there. They're probably doing something important. They're probably interceding. they probably have an effect. I'm not sure their prayers have more effect right. than us, because we're already raised with them. Mm-hmm. That's the reality in the minds right. of God, mm-hmm. in the mind of God. So there's not this this dualism between like the people on earth and the saints in heaven. I don't think that's a biblical concept. So mm-hmm. I could keep building on that, but mm-hmm.
I think you should just keep going.
An overview of
yeah.
of holy ones.
Thank
so.
You. Yeah.
Yeah.
You got anything you want to say on that?
I just keep thinking about, you know, the Hebrews 11 and
the
Hall of Fame guys. Yes. You know, I mean, if anybody could be a saint, it could yeah. be them. And most of them didn't do miracles, but they lived a wonderful,
yeah,
miraculous.
They had some major failures.
They had
also.
Some major failures going on in there, yeah. but they lived a faithful life. Mm-hmm. And so, and they're in that cloud of witnesses that we call them. And mm-hmm. that, you know, and so who are they? And are they watching? Are they applauding? Are they cheering us on? Are they waiting? You know, mm-hmm. right. that we be brought into, you know, some place.
Well, what's the cloud, Pastor Bob?
Oh,
what's the cloud where the witnesses are?
That's yes.
It's that's the glory cloud.
It's the glory cloud that surrounds the Lord and his, yeah. yeah, yeah. Darkness that hides my
it's
Savior.
That ruling, it's that ruling position.
Yeah.
So should yeah. we be asking, like, if they're like watching and observing what we're doing, should we ask them to help us? Like, you know, hey, you
can't
know,
hurt.
Moses, you're up there. And
I don't think it's a bad idea. You know,
you're seeing the struggles I'm having. Can you just put in a good word for me? Or, you know.
Well, I don't know. Since we have this one intercessor between God and man, so that's, you know, like, I mean, the Bible specifies, if we're going to go biblical, of
yes.
course. And it, you know, now we have this, that person that's been brought into that position, mm-hmm. Person God. Right. And that's what we have. Mm-hmm. That's, you know, so we can deviate from and create religions is what's happened from just the simplicity that's in God.
Right.
And so I think that's the stumbling block. That's mm-hmm. the problem, the, you know, the minefield that people get into is that they, you know, you can like Pastor Dave is talking about, you can talk, you can see in the Bible, they talk about holy ones. They talk about, you know, the assembly. They talk, there's a lot going on and we're seated in these heavenly places. And, you know, it's like, what's that all about? You know, and we can get all mixed up in all that and forget the simplicity, like I said, that, hey, Jesus, he's our intercessor. He's right. making intercession for us.
Right.
So why would we want to go through somebody else?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you're not careful, like, you kind of rebuild the tabernacle with all the different courts, and you're like, well, I can really only go to St. Jude. I couldn't go to Jesus. You know, I couldn't. Right. I couldn't actually come to the Father through Jesus. Even Jesus is a step away from the Father. You know, you get this kind of staggered view of your relationship with God, where it's, you know, let me get through these walls. Where really we are in Him, and He's in us.
Right.
So it's a mutual indwelling that, you know, I believe saints can pray for you, but I don't know if we're not supposed to directly contact them. We're supposed to come to the Father. You know, it says in Hebrews 10, let us draw near with full assurance of faith. He's ripped the veil through His flesh.
Right.
Why wouldn't we draw near to the Father and know the Father? Why do we need intermediaries? I mean, I don't know, I could go on that, but it's, you know, the Bible doesn't say to contact saints.
Right. I think it takes away from the personal relationship that we have with the Godhead, actually. Right. And so it puts something in between us and Him.
Yeah.
And so that's the danger, I think.
I could be a rabble rouser right now. All right. I could say we ask saints to pray for us all the time.
Oh, on the earth.
Yeah.
On the earth.
So another. Why wouldn't you ask a saint?
That is part of the, that is part of the argument for, petitioning saints that are in heaven, you know, and I'm learning a lot about specifically the Orthodox culture. And I have actually a lot of honor for the Orthodox Church because they've preserved the truth through a lot of centuries. And especially in the nation of Greece where I am, they've preserved the Greek language and they really have done a lot of very good things in the earth. But there's also this other side where there's a lot of darkness, you know, because and there really is no personal relationship. That's the church. You have to be in the church to be in relationship with God. You cannot have it on your own. And so I think that one of the things that I see is that people are looking for, they're looking for a connection with the heavens, but they actually don't believe that they can do it personally with God themselves or with Jesus themselves. Mm-hmm. And so now they have this substitute where they feel like they can actually talk to someone who it was a human who understands their suffering and their struggle. Yeah. And who now is seated in a position of favor with the Lord and completely bypassing the fact they have that in Christ.
Yeah, I was going to say, that'd be nice if we had that.
Right. And that's, I think that's really the main reason is there's a human need in us to be able to have someone to be able to identify with us, with what we go through as a human being and be able to stand before the Lord and bring our case to Him. And if you don't have Christ, if Christ is not that person, you're not allowed to access Him personally, then of course you would come up with somebody else.
Right.
Right. And there's a comfort that comes from that. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of people are very comforted by Mother Mary because, you know, she's someone that understands them. She's someone that knows what it is that they're feeling.
You're getting at something really important because a lot of times the way Christianity's been preached is we've removed the feminine from God. And so people are way more, they need that. We need the divine feminine. So we are like, well, I have my favorite, I have Teresa of Avila, or I have, you know, the Mother of God, or I have someone that I go to that fulfills my need for connection in the spiritual realm with some sort of a feminine presence where like God is both male and female. That's He's not spirit. Related a lot. Yeah. You know, that's seen as like something that we don't really show to people that they could connect with God in those ways. You know, if they had a bad relationship with their father, yeah, God's a father to you. What about if you had a mother problem? You know, God is God. It takes male and female to express the whole image of God. God portrays Himself as a nursing mother, right? Throughout the old covenant. The Holy Spirit births us. Like you think about these things. So I think that's just a side note, but it's, if we never talk about God in any sort of feminine terms, people will reach for the comfort of a mother or a sister or a saint or something like that. And just say, that's what I need right now. And God doesn't provide that, you know, 'cause He's only a male or something like that. So
yeah,
I think we have a little bit of an incomplete view sometimes on that.
Yeah, I think that the idea is that the Lord actually wants to be everything for us. He mm-hmm. wants to be, he's, you know, El Shaddai, like he's the one who satisfies you. He's the one who nurtures and cares for you and protects you and is, mm-hmm. and that is why Christ came, is why Jesus came to the earth, so that like a man, he knows what it is that we suffered. He was tempted in every way, mm-hmm. just like we are, yet without sin. But he completely understands what it is to be human, a human being on the earth, and have a soul and the body and all the things that pull at you and you have to walk through. But, and yet he also stands before the Father as a righteous intercessor to bring you your cause before the just mm-hmm. one, you know, mm-hmm. and to see the Lord move and mm-hmm. act on your behalf. And so again, I just, the more I'm learning, and I'm trying to always approach it in a humble way, because people are very devout in their faith, mm-hmm, you know, sure. and they have the fear of the Lord, and they also have this affection for these saints. And I begin to understand, oh, if you don't have Jesus, mm-hmm. you need that. Like, what else is there? You have an angry God that you can't approach, that you're yeah. just trying to appease somehow.
Absolutely.
You know? It's the old school pantheons. You didn't go right to Zeus, you know, like you had your favorite local God.
Yeah.
You know, because you wouldn't do that. I mean, so it's you kind of create that. Mm-hmm. It's these multiple intermediaries. Yeah, did you have something you were going to, looked like you were going to say something?
I had a lot of thoughts yeah. about all this. Yeah. Since I grew up and all that. Right. But yeah. there's, it's interesting to me, because I believe religion can pervert the idea of what the church actually is, the mm-hmm. body of Christ, the mm-hmm. church, and will substitute things.
Yeah. For,
you know, and so I believe that the when you deal with religion, this is why you can have it's like the church will take the place of the connection we have with God directly. Mm-hmm. And like you said, he was touched with the feeling of our infirmity. You know, we have a connection with him directly, Jesus. Mm-hmm. And but if you're, you know, like I say, if your God's a, you know, he's a taskmaster, you know, this big old bad God in heaven, and mm-hmm. you're afraid to approach him because of fear, it's good to have a second, you know, find another lawyer, find a, you know, yeah, guy, you right. know, and just find somebody else who's a little bit more approachable. You're not as afraid of, mm-hmm. basically. Mm-hmm. I mean, the saints are kept in, they're honored, they're in awe, you know, people are in awe, like, wow, they're so good, mm-hmm. but it's not like they're afraid of them.
Right.
Yeah. Right. There. Mm-hmm. That's the difference.
Right.
And so it's like they're more like your buddy. Mm-hmm. Right.
They're there to help you.
They're there to help mm-hmm. you. Yeah. And so they're my help, my little helper. And so
if only we had a helper.
Yes.
Right. Right. Yeah. Oh, exactly. Yeah.
If only we had a helper. Yes, exactly that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And by the way, and that's when we start to reject the full Godhead. Right. Mm-hmm. Because the Holy Spirit, who came. Mm-hmm. And by the way, most of these religions all acknowledge Holy Spirit.
Totally.
In word.
In idea, if you will. Yeah. And I think that they understand, oh yeah, there's a reality. There's a, you know, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. You know, it can rattle it off. Mm-hmm. Like I said, so that religion not only perverts, but it just waters down the reality of how we're connected mm-hmm. to the Father, to the Son, Holy Spirit, the Godhead. And how they meet our needs, mm-hmm. like they directly, and we have access
right.
to them,
right.
like, and that's the big thing. And so, mm-hmm. and like I said, it also perverts a weird part of what the body is supposed to be, because yeah. Two or three are gathered in my name, he's in the midst of them. Mm-hmm. You know, when you've seen me, you've seen the Father. When you know, there's mm-hmm. a connection, mm-hmm. you know, we each are a temple of the Holy Spirit. So guess what? We get, you know, we're connected. And there's a component of God that we are each presenting mm-hmm. in the earth. And so there's a reality of all that too. And then it gets mixed up. It gets messed up because it's like, oh no, only these certain people
right.
are allowed to be that.
Right.
Instead well, it's easier of to, everyone.
It's easier to relate to the invisible saints than right. the visible saints. The invisible easier, ones are a lot nicer.
It is much easier to really keep someone in your mind as a saint after they've died than when they're like right next to you and you're like, who is this Joker?
Well, you know, like, it's funny you should say that because all of the saints, you know, they had their downtown. Yeah. Right? You know, they had their issues. You know, they had their, and it's like, you don't want to talk bad about them. They're dead now.
Right,
you know,
right.
It's like, and it's not like you want to talk bad about them. It's just like, yeah, they were people.
Yeah.
You know, they were, you know, it's, of course they had issues and they had doubts and they had, you know, it's okay. So I think like the Jews have their own saints, right? Mm-hmm. Abraham, right? It's like
patriarchs,
the father of faith. Mm-hmm. Oh, you know, no problem. He was he's the father of our, you know, he's also the guy who tried to give away his wife a couple of times. And I mean, you know, it's just like, hello. It was like, you know, and did strange stuff. And so did Isaac. And, you know, it's like, yeah. So these were like people here on the earth. But now we can just make them into this little icon and forget that they were, and, you know, and that's why, you know, he, Jesus Christ, he was touched with the feeling of our infirmity. He gets us and that he can be that intercessor. And we, you know, and by the way, you know, like I said, recognizing the church in the earth, the saints in the earth, it's like, oh yeah, yeah, David's strange.
Yeah.
But David can also pray with me and believe with me. And he can actually touch my life. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's the reality of Christ in us. And that's what, you know, so admit you, I think when we, the perversion, if you will, of that, even though it's great in some ways, it's because it's kept it for, through the centuries.
Right.
It's also steered it away from the tangible reality of what it is today in the earth. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when I've seen you, I've actually seen the Father. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so that, and so, yeah, you're holy, like your Father in heaven is holy. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so there's a lot going on there, I think, that religions bring in that could be an issue.
Well, I want to say also that, you know, the religious spirit, it's easy to look at thing, you know, certain denominations and say like, oh, they're just held by religion. But I'm going to tell you, it is alive and well in the American Pentecostal, evangelical, Protestant, non-denominational church.
Well, it's alive and well all over the world.
Right.
It's not just America.
And the reason I'm saying
you
that
Greeks
is because
you have to really watch yourself. You know what I'm saying?
The reason I'm saying this is because I think it's very easy. It's very easy to just go like, oh, those people and they're saints and how could they, that's so dumb. And how could they do that? You know, and we kind of dismiss it. Well, at the same time, people in, let's just talk about the American church, completely deify and worship other believers, pastors, mega church leaders, speakers, YouTube
idols,
you know, like they do exactly the same thing of these people are more holy than me. Mm-hmm. They hear God better than I do. Mm-hmm. I need to get whatever they have. I need that. I need them to help me because I can't get there on my own. And they're the ones that I just go to them for everything. I don't actually go to the Lord on my own. It's exactly the same thing.
The idol's an idol, no matter what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Augustine could never have been wrong about anything.
Right.
We just, you just read what he wrote, and you'll be right. Same with John Calvin. Same with Martin Luther. Just pick your favorite guy and take his theology. Mm. Don't hear from God. Because he's, you know, you're not going to be better and smarter than, you know, Jonathan Edwards. Like, you're not going to, like, so we do that. Like,
we do.
How dare you hear from God? How dare you compare other traditions? And it's like, well, because that person's not infallible. That person's not God. So they said some great, great things. They probably are smarter than me and other people. But, you know, that doesn't make them a capital S saint, you know, where it's just like,
yeah,
it creates such a, like such a hierarchy.
It does. It does. And I think that we have a tendency to set up those people have a special access to God that somehow that I don't have.
Right.
And that is one of the biggest lies I think people will buy into for a variety of reasons. A, because of false humility, and B, because it's easier. Mm-hmm. It's actually easier just to say that person has a special relationship with the Lord that I can't have. Mm-hmm. And so I'm just going to
settle
here. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think that we very easily accept our own versions of saints.
Well, it allows you also to never directly access the grace of God
right,
for yourself.
Right.
Like, go in before him with all your stuff, mm-hmm. with all your good, bad, and ugly, mm-hmm. and just go, I need you.
Yeah.
There's nobody. Who can I turn to? I need you.
To, yeah. to
heal yeah. me, cleanse me. You know.
Remember that guy, St. Peter?
Yeah.
Remember him?
Remember him, yeah.
St. Peter, he was pretty important. He was a pretty important.
I had breakfast with him the other day.
So St. Peter, St. Peter wrote this, okay? 2 Peter 1. Simeon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained a faith of equal standing with ours, by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ.
That's good, yeah.
So St. Peter goes, oh, you believe in Jesus? You have the same righteousness as I do. Mm-hmm. You're just as righteous. You're not in the nosebleed section. Like, you're right there with God.
Yeah.
And that's St. Peter.
Right.
So if you can think of a better saint than St. Peter, that he controls the pearly gates, he controls who gets in there, you know? And he's like, you guys can come right in because yes. you believed in Jesus just like I did.
I hear that they have like a button now.
Trap door
it's
function.
It's all automated now. It's not. Yeah. It used to be, you had to open them up. And
close yeah. them. I do think there's, we have to be able to receive the word of the Lord that tells us that we are holy and we are righteous by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Mm. Until we actually will take hold of that, we will always keep ourselves at a distance that mm-hmm. somehow Jesus didn't quite pay enough and we can't quite come in. So we need someone else to do, yeah. to stand in between for us. And it's really, it's a place of pride and false humility at the same time.
It's also the perfect work of shame.
It is.
Right? Right? That's yeah. the thing that keeps you.
Yeah.
Wait, you know, it's like, I mean, think about it. What we were talking about earlier, I can approach somebody that I know is a little bit more tangible to me than, you know, because of who I am, my shame, the shame on my life, mm-hmm. my down sittings, my, you know, things I've failed in. Yeah. So yeah, I can go there instead of coming before God
right.
and going, hey, this is the way it is. Interesting mm-hmm. enough, everybody gets to go before him sooner or later. Right. And there ain't going to be no saint in between you. Oh. And, yeah. yeah. All must stand before Jesus.
He's the holy one.
Oh yeah.
He's the saint.
It's like when you get up there, you'd be like, I don't know if I should tell this joke.
Somebody told me this the other day. They said, okay, we do not take responsibility for whatever's going to happen right now.
That was a good joke. It said that it was a Jewish guy who became a Catholic. Mm-hmm. And he says he was great, except he brought a lawyer with him into the confessional.
Okay. Wow.
Yes, that'll get us thrown off the air. I hope.
Well, and that goes to kind of what Liz was saying before about how, you know, in the Orthodox tradition, it's a very sacramental religion. So it's not bad. I mean, I think the sacraments all have power and they're great and they're great ways of receiving from God and worshiping God. But if the only way you can receive from God is through sacrament, right? Through communion or through baptism or through the incense or the prayers or, you know, whatever, whatever's in the church. Well, then what's happening outside the church?
Right.
I'm sure I don't know everything about it. So there's probably other sacraments like fellowship or something. But if people are thinking of it as I receive from God within the church or at the icon or at the, you know, if they're thinking about it like that, it's localized and it doesn't really go with you. And there's no way for you to, you know, interact with God on a personal level or even with friends. It's like, hey, look, if this is mediated through the priesthood, this is mediated through mm-hmm. the church, this is mediated through the sacraments. Mm-hmm. So sacraments, like I said, they're not bad. It's just like, is that the totality of our
right.
relationship with God?
Not at all.
No.
Right. Yeah. And if you're dependent on someone to administer those to you all the time, then mm-hmm. you're, yeah, like you said, you're very limited in your ability to commune with the Lord.
Yeah.
It reminds me of, you know, in John 4, when Jesus is talking to the woman and she's mm-hmm. like, you know, they say we're supposed to worship there. They say we're supposed to worship there. Where are we supposed to worship? And he's like, you're supposed to worship in spirit and truth.
Right.
That's actually wherever you are. Jesus is dismantling the, religious structures of mm-hmm. you have to go there. You have to follow these ordinances. You know, he's like, you are supposed to be, the reason I came is to bring you into full and complete communion with your Father as a part of your normal everyday life. The same way that I am one with him, you are supposed to be one with him.
Yeah,
and that's right. The work of Jesus Christ. And so that's part of the burden on my heart, the burning in my heart is for people to begin to understand how much the Lord wants to be in relationship with him and has already provided that for him. And they are not blaspheming him or dishonoring him in any way mm-hmm. by being able to commune with him directly. The blood mm-hmm. of Jesus is enough to cover all of our, all of our stuff so that we can come in and be one with the Father. And so we can have the help of the Holy Spirit. We can mm-hmm. talk with our brother Jesus who walked with on the earth like we did, and we can come in before a holy God knowing that we've been sanctified. That's what mm-hmm. saint means, like you've been sanctified. Right. But we're sanctified by the blood of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Very good.
That's what makes us a saint.
You know, it's funny is we're a temple. Yeah. We're a holy place. Mm-hmm. We're not just a holy person.
Yeah, that's good.
And we're sacred space for the Holy Spirit to live. And so if you're walking around in unbelief, all you have is sin. Your body's not a fit temple. It hasn't been purified. Mm-hmm. God, you really couldn't have God living there. However, through the blood, it says in the Hebrews, he's sprinkled the mm-hmm. holy place so that we can walk to heaven. But he's also sprinkled us with the blood so that our bodies can be sacred space.
Right.
So God could dwell in us as his temple. So these are just huge concepts like within the New Testament that it's tough for a sacramental view because we're actually seen as the priesthood and the temple. Mm-hmm. And it's said of individuals, not just mm-hmm. the corporate church. And so that's key. I mean, it's a Reformation doctrine, the priesthood of all believers.
Right.
Many evangelicals don't understand this. Mm-hmm. Many charismatic Christians don't understand that not only am I the temple of the Holy Spirit, I'm the priest of God. I'm supposed to go offer spiritual sacrifices. Yeah. I'm supposed to come into the Holy of Holies and commune with God. That's my place. Mm-hmm. We like to stand at a distance.
Right.
Because it's, I don't know why, but I could think about it, but temptation to not believe the incredible privilege that we've been given.
Right.
It seems way too much.
Yeah.
Like how could God want me that close?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think the orthodoxy of church or religions make it easy for that to happen. So mm-hmm. then, you know, it takes some truths out of the Bible, like, you know, confess your faults one another, and turns it into you need a priest to go confess mm-hmm. your faults to, instead of make your request known to God, mm-hmm. right? I mean, it takes the connection to him. And there is a simplicity and a truth about confessing our faults to one another.
Yeah, mm-hmm,
it's not total, but it can't be just that. Mm-hmm, and then you eliminate everything else. Mm-hmm. And so that's the, like I said, that's what those kinds of religions, what they do is they take a component of the truth and just either focus on it or pervert it some in some weird way. And it's not like the truth by itself is evil. It's actually good, mm-hmm. right? But when focused on, when made an idol of it, when made a substitute for what God's truth is, it changes into something totally different. It turns mm-hmm. into something that isn't God. Mm-hmm. And I actually believe even in the New Testament, Paul ran into that. He ran into it happening then, mm-hmm. before there were these Orthodox churches being running around. They just brought in Gnosticism and other things and tried to kind of mix it all in. And a lot of those things have their roots way back in there.
Yeah.
I mean, that's where they started, actually, mm-hmm. probably prior to that even. But mm-hmm. so it's an interesting component how I think the key that, or I guess that's the most essential component is this, like you were both saying, we have a direct connection with God. And we're his temple mm-hmm. all at the same time. We're the priest and the temple mm-hmm. all at the same time. Mm-hmm. And just like Jesus.
And the sacrifice.
And the sacrifice. Just like Jesus. Yeah. We need to present our lives a living sacrifice, right? Mm-hmm. And so we're all of that. And so it takes it and separates it and makes it something else. Something, you know, like you go through this person or you go through this liturgy or you go through this thing you do, you know, and that's how you do God instead of being connected to him in relationship. And so a lot of those things can really separate you from the actual relationship with God. I think a lot of those folks are fully separated from God. Mm-hmm. They know about God. Mm-hmm. They know about a lot of his principles and a lot of great stuff and don't know him.
Yeah.
Like they don't know the Savior. Mm-hmm. They just, there's no relationship with him at all. Mm-hmm. And we can look at them and go, well, they're really holy and they know a lot of the Bible, but they don't know him. Mm-hmm.
Well, there's the ecclesiastical authority is so strong that it's really a decision that people have to make is like the church tells me these are the interpretations of the scripture. This is how I need to worship. This is how I interact with icons and saints and with my father, the priest who can forgive my sin. And, you know, like that's what the church's interpretation is of the scripture. But there's other people in the past in the church that have interpreted scripture differently. And we have the Holy Spirit. And a lot of times, like we're listing a ton of scriptures, they just speak very clearly that we have direct access to God, mm-hmm. and we're the temple, we're the priest, we're the sacrifice.
Right.
We can commune with him. He invites us in. Those are very clear scriptures. Mm-hmm. So you have the choice to say, I believe this written revelation, or I'm going to let somebody teach me the tradition of man as if it's the commandment of God.
Right.
And that's those annoying reformers that, you know, they come in and say, we really appreciate the tradition. There's so much great theology. There's so many great saints and mystics and, world changing things that happen through the Western Church and the Eastern Church. Right. But could we get back to the written commandment of God? Could we get back to the living word of God, mm-hmm. Jesus? Mm-hmm. Can we move forward that way? Right. You know? Right. I believe there's a way to do that without dismantling these denominations and without, you know, having to destroy everything. Mm-hmm. But the people have to decide that of like, hey, am I going to receive what the Spirit's saying to me through the Word of God, or do I have to filter it through my tradition? And that's a choice for all of us. Cause like you said, we all have a tradition. Mm-hmm. So it's always going to be challenging.
Yeah.
Nobody's a saint in this.
Wow.
He's great.
Yeah, I will say just in the natural, if you think of it, and like, it just seems very like audacious to think like I actually can just come to God and speak to him and hear from him mm-hmm. on my mm-hmm. own. Like, and even with all my stuff, like I can just go right in there. Like that does seem really,
it's prideful of you.
It seems really, ridiculous just from a natural standpoint of like, how could any human being think that they have what it takes to go in front of Almighty God and just speak to him face to face?
Yeah.
You know, like he's a friend.
That's why the natural mind is at war with God.
That's exactly. why the law makes perfect sense.
Exactly. Yeah. Right.
The law says stand out there and keep these regulations and here's your court and here's your court. And here's the chosen one person that can go in one time a year with blood. Mm-hmm. Maybe he'll die.
That
makes a lot more sense.
We'll drag him out.
makes a lot more sense than God taking on a human body so he can die for us to bring us into the Holy of Holies.
Right. Yeah, that's a little hard to swallow.
It does all come back to Jesus, you know, really understanding what he did, why he did it, and what his desire is for us in that, and that we live in him, mm-hmm. you know, and he's an acceptable sacrifice, and he is our high priest, you know.
When you reach that point, then you actually do respect and honor the saints that have gone before us in a true way. Like this is the deal. Mm-hmm. Like some of these people we've been talking about, we're not bad mouthing them. These were wonderful men and women of God.
Incredible
who
people.
Walked with God and they sinned also and they got forgiveness and they just kept walking with them. And even when things were like so against them, we can see them and if you will, use them as examples of the faith.
Yes.
Like, oh, that's what faith is. Like, you know, but if we only see him in their iconic image, the high low and all that stuff, then what, you know, it's like, I'm not that, I can't be that. Mm-hmm. I won't be that. I've already, look at my life. I don't have a chance. You know, I don't have a chance in heaven. but the reality is, you know, we are who he's quickened, who were dead, we were done, mm-hmm. and he brought us into that life with him. And he's like, no, you know, you're my son. You're my daughter. Like, come on.
Yeah, that's a good point. I'm way more qualified to be an unholy one.
Right.
Like one of hell's people. And it's like, this guy is a great example of what it's like in hell.
Right.
But then God was like, let's make him a holy one.
Right.
Yeah.
That's called grace.
Yeah. I mean, well, like I said, it's easy to do that. And then you just make a little list. You know, your heaven and hell, and put your life below it. Which one, where do I belong? Yeah. And that's why you're not the judge. And that's why the blood of Jesus covers from all of that.
Yeah.
Like all of that. Mm-hmm. And so, did I do enough things? Did I say enough prayers? Did I light enough candles? Did I do this enough? Did
Smells
I do enough
bells.
Good works in that process? Mm-hmm. Or did I find the good one, him? Mm-hmm. And did he bring me into a relationship with him that nobody else could bring me into?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And sure. And do I just receive him and accept him, and I'm walking with him with all my stuff day by day? Mm-hmm. And how does that really look in life? Yeah. So that's a whole different realm of walking with God. That's a tangible reality and not some little weird, American Idol version of it.
Right.
Well, think about how offensive this is, like the true gospel, even to Christians.
Right.
That it's like, I'm a holy one. I'm a saint through the grace of Jesus. I'm going to reign with him. I'm like the stars of God.
Right.
You know, I'm going to shine forever in the kingdom.
Right.
Like, well, who are you to say something like that?
Right.
Like Liz was saying, well, we're not. We're in Christ.
Yes.
But he has given us his divine nature. Mm-hmm. That's an Eastern Orthodox teaching, theosis. Okay. Mm-hmm. So, like, if you actually develop Eastern Orthodox teaching, it'll get you great gospel stuff. It's just that with any religious system, it could be from our tradition, you can really just hold people down and really be like, well, you're not the apostle. Mm-hmm. You're not the lead pastor.
Right.
You're not the minister. You know, like we can hold people down all day long. We don't need a Eastern or Western tradition.
Right.
Oh no, we do.
We're good at it. Reformation can really crush people as much as anybody else.
Yeah.
Crushing is easy. Yes. Yeah. Well. Yeah. And I think we can lose sight of the fact that we're growing up into Christ likeness in this process. Mm-hmm. I mean, and that will eliminate all that too if you just if you have too much saintism going on, because like whoa, you're supposed to grow up into that. You're supposed to mature into that. And together we're going to grow up into it, because it's bad enough because you think like, oh no, I have no chance. Right. And then you look around and you go, they don't have a chance either. We're all done. And then there's the grace of God and his power and his ability to form us and to take us that, we're dead and make us alive in him.
Yeah.
Like, it's just like, it's great stuff. Yeah. It's great stuff. Yeah. You should receive Jesus if you're listening to this right now.
It'd be a good thing.
Yeah. It'd be a great thing.
Yeah.
Personally.
Well,
we can also, we can affirm with people that believe in the saints that there's people that used to be alive that are conscious, that are holy, they're with God in heaven, they're in a place of honor. We don't dispute any of that. We look to them as examples, like Pastor Bob was saying. We want to look at their true humanity, not just, deify them in advance, but we're not going to have to set up these levels and these progressions, these pathways to get to God. Like, we don't need the rainbow bridge to Asgard. Like, we just go right to Jesus, right to the Father. So.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I think when it's all said and done in the end, we'll all be around that throne worshiping together. Even the, super preachers and the super saints, they're all, everything will even off, even in our minds, we'll understand. So we're all in him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially if people paid money to get us out of purgatory.
Oh my gosh.
That's not
another, another like subject that. For another day.
I may need that.
Or they got baptized for us when we were dead.
Yes.
We won't bring those
If you're listening to this, if you'd send money to get me out of this purgatory, it would be great.
Yeah, we'll address purgatory another day.
I think Pastor Liz is wanting to land this.
Yeah, it seems like
What do you
like
think,
so.
Liz? How do you land?
I
how do you land
is.
This?
I think Pastor Liz does it.
Yeah. What do you think? Yeah. Wherever she is.
No, I just, it's a good conversation. I want to ask people, who are listening, just to be praying for the people who are raised up in this, in these traditions, because like I said, there are some very, very devout people.
Absolutely.
Who really, they fear the Lord and they want to do what is right and they want to live right according to the Lord. They just need the revelation of Jesus Christ as a personal savior. And I am seeing the Lord breathing on people who are genuinely seeking, and there are Orthodox priests that are preaching Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. You know, if we want to pray for them for courage and that they would bring the truth and that they would have further revelation and that the Holy Spirit would be welcomed into those places to breathe new life and to break people out of bondage. And because I know the Lord is jealous. He's jealous for his church. He's jealous for his people. And especially in these places where they have a high regard for truth and they're willing to hold it, but that they would hold the full truth and the truth of freedom and the word of deliverance also. So be praying for them and be praying. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm always praying also for myself, like, Lord, don't let me settle into my own idea of religion, my own idea of who you are. I always want you to challenge my thinking so that I'm not settling into some form of godliness with no power, you know, that we want to always be open to the spirit of revelation that will break off mindsets and bring us into truths that we didn't know before. So it's, anyway, just wanted to kind of voice that here at the end.
It's important.
This conversation. I'm going to read one scripture here as we're closing out, unless you guys have anything else to say.
St. Bob says the words better. Get into
okay.
it.
St. Robert of Harlem.
Of Harlem. Hear ye, hear ye.
The word of the Saint David.
The word of the Lord coming from Saint Elizabeth.
Do the most saintly thing I can do.
My name does sound the most saintly, I will say, out of all the three of us.
Saint Robert is fairly
but Elizabeth has this like royal
fairly renowned, yes.
Hey, when we're done here, we're gonna set up a little idol thing over there.
You already have one, by the way.
No, we already have you.
He already has his saint icon. It has the gold halo and everything in your office.
Yeah, it's true.
We shouldn't say that.
It's true. And you haven't even died yet.
We have a few saints. I'm not going to
say that,
that
with such anticipation.
We have a few. We have a few in this building.
Yeah, we do. We do. It's okay.
All right, we better end this.
I'll do the most saintly thing I can do and just be quiet.
Okay. 1 Corinthians 1. This is Saint Paul writing to the Corinth church, which were not very saintly at that time. He says, "To the church of God that is in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, together with all those who in every place call upon the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, both their Lord and ours." Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Lord.
Called to be saints. Yeah. Mm. Good word, huh?
Excellent.
So let that sink into your spirit and your mind and your soul. Saints of God.
Yeah.
Thank you for joining us. Be sure to subscribe to get the latest episode. And for more information, visit spiritschoolofministry.com.